Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17. The Lord agrees to become Aditi's son, text number 24. Aditir Dishtitam Garbham Bhagavantam Sanatanam Hiranyagarbho Vijaya Samide Guya Namabhi Adite. Into the womb of Aditi. Dishtitam. Being established. Garbham. Pregnancy. Bhagavantam. Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sanatanam. Who is eternal. Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma, Vigaya, knowingness, Samide, offered prayers, Guyas Namabhi, with transcendental names. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead exists everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu triantarastam. Therefore, when one chants his transcendental names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is automatically pleased by such sankirtan. It is not that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absent. He is present there. When a devotee utters the transcendental name, it is not a material sound. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally pleased. A devotee knows that the Lord is present everywhere, and that one can please him simply by chanting his holy name. As it says, Namas Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purno Shudo Niti Mukto, Pinatvam Namanamino. That the Namas Chintamani, that the holy name of Krishna is just like spiritual touchstone. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, and is the form of eternal, of all the jewels of rasa, or transcendental pleasure, spiritual pleasure. Purno Namas Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purno Nityo, Purno Shudo Nityamukto. It is complete, it is pure, and is always beyond the material energy. Pinatvam nama nami no, and it is not different from Krishna. So we have to have some faith that Krishna and his name are non-different. Unfortunately, Hare Krishna. Unfortunately, we commit offenses when we chant, and therefore we don't experience Krishna. And if we commit enough offenses for enough time, then we become convinced that the holy name and Krishna are, well, the holy name has no potency, because we don't experience the potency of the holy name. We conclude that it has no potency. That it may be an extraordinary sound vibration, a little bit different from other sound vibrations, but its potency is limited to what I experience when I chant Hare Krishna. And that Rupa Goswami's praise for having millions of tongues and millions of ears to chant the holy name, we think that it's nice poetry, but it's not very realistic. I mean, who would want to have thousands of tongues? It would be rather inconvenient, unless you had thousands of stomachs. Then you can eat thousands of plates of prasadam. Therefore, we always have to go back to the basic philosophy that I'm not this body. Just to demonstrate to ourselves that we're an illusion. We may be proud that we know something, but actually we don't even know who we are. We don't even know what we're not. We think ourselves be something that we're not, so that's called illusion. And if one is an illusion, then one does not actually understand things as they actually are. Therefore, knowing well that we're spiritual beings in a material body, and our material body is limiting our perception of everything, including ourselves. Therefore, we can at least theoretically accept that Krishna and his name are non-different. And that should make a difference when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, we'll just simply think that the perfection of the chanting is to get our rounds done. That the happiest moment I feel is when my counter beads are finished. I have no more beads left to chant, and my heart leaps with joy. I'm free. I'm liberated from the chanting of the holy names. But the problem is, we're not liberated from our minds, which are covering us, and therefore we don't taste the holy name. We don't experience actually Krishna when we're chanting the holy name. Like Bakasura. Bakasura was a big crane, enormous crane. And he was sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. So, when Bakasura found Krishna and his coward boys by the bank of the Jamuna, he swallowed Krishna. But when he swallowed Krishna, although Krishna is sweeter than sugar candy, he tasted him to be bitter like poison, and therefore he threw him up. Hare Krishna. So we should not be Bakasuras, having Krishna in our mouth when we're chanting the holy name and going, disgusting. Can't stand this holy name. It's bitter like poison. And it may be bitter like poison. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that which in the beginning, yet tad agre vishamiva parinami ritopamam tat sukham satikam proktam atma buddha prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and the end is just like nectar, which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So it may be bitter like poison sometimes. But actually what's bitter is not the holy name, it's our consciousness that's bitter. Our constantly hankering for something other than what we're doing. We think, what I'm doing, I don't like what I'm doing, I need the next thing. Even when we're hankering for prasadam, we're eating prasadam, we're thinking about something else. Thinking about the next meal. We're thinking that this meal is not exactly what I wanted. Where are the glovedments? What's wrong with these people? So we have to somehow or another see every moment as an opportunity to actually associate with Krishna and to some degree or another at least become purified by the holy name. But we have to at least accept that Krishna and his name are non-different, and that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's actually a relationship. We're having a relationship with Krishna and with Srimati Radharani, that they're there. The question is, where will we be? And Krishna, the only thing he wants is bhakti, is love. He doesn't need anything. We have nothing to give him. This material nature is already his. We have nothing to offer him here. All we can do is offer ourselves and try to do something lovingly for Krishna. So Krishna appreciates that. Of course, he appreciates our effort trying to do something, following the instructions of his instructions, through the disciples' succession. So even a little effort to do something, Krishna is pleased. It's a little manifestation of love. But he's not pleased watching us torturing ourselves when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Imagine if you had a lover and every time they chanted their name, they had a big grimace. Oh, how disgusting. I can't stand it. But I love you anyhow. I hate your name. I hate everything about you. But I'm your devotee. So our relation with Krishna is manifested by how we chant Hare Krishna. It's not. Sometimes they have big seminars on how to chant the holy name, as if it's very, very complicated. All we do is have to chant and call out to Krishna and Srimati Radharani with some happiness. If there's happiness, then there's nothing to hanker for. In other words, if we're satisfied with simply the holy name, then there's nothing we really have to become hankering or lamenting about. Hankering and lamenting is actually artificial because it has nothing to do with ourselves, the real self, the soul. The soul, what does he have to hanker for in the material world? What could he get here, actually, the soul? That's going to make any difference from the soul. It's like the fish, when he's out of the water, then what can you give the fish when he's out of the water? A nice house, a beautiful wife, a nice car. What can you get? What will satisfy the fish except for being in the water? Similarly, since we're fish, we're out of the water, out of the spiritual energy, being in the material nature cannot satisfy us no matter what we get, no matter what we accumulate here. It can't satisfy us because we're not of this energy. The energy is different from ourselves. Unless we're under the spiritual energy, unless we're in the water, unless the fish is in the water, it can't actually be happy or satisfied. So if we're feeling dissatisfied, we feel like we're missing something, actually what we're missing is Krishna. And when Krishna comes in the form of his holy name, and we miss him, we miss out on actually the process by which we can associate with him, then that's the greatest loss. If you are given $1 million, or €1 million, or €10 million nowadays, I guess €1 million is not so much anymore. Can't even buy a house with it. If you're given €10 million, and you don't know, and they're given, but you don't know where you put it, then it's very unfortunate. If you can't, you don't know where it is. So Krishna is appearing before us, and we're not taking advantage of it, at least by chanting. If we can't do anything else, at least chant without stress, without hankering, without lamentation. Simply try to hear and chant sweetly to Krishna. And some desire to actually get into Krishna, have Krishna's association, experience what it's like to be Krishna conscious. We came to the Hare Krishna movement, and that's the whole idea of the Hare Krishna movement, is to help us become Krishna conscious. So if we're not interested in becoming conscious of Krishna, we've missed the whole point in the Hare Krishna movement. Sure, there's no better food, no better prasadam than we have here. And most of us aren't working from 9 to 5. We don't pay taxes. We don't have to repair the house. We don't have a big issue with transportation. So why are we here? Unless we're here to become conscious of Krishna, of course the lifestyle is better than any other lifestyle, but still this lifestyle is the lifestyle by which we have the greatest opportunity when we're chanting Hare Krishna to actually associate with Krishna. We just have to remember when we're chanting that that's what we're trying to do. as I said at the beginning, the greatest problem is that we get into a routine of thinking that today is going to be exactly like yesterday. Yesterday I struggled to get my rounds done, and today I'm going to struggle even more. Yesterday Krishna didn't appear, and today won't appear either. I just got to get my rounds done. What's the sense of hoping for Krishna to appear? He never appears. He doesn't like me. I think I'm in a special category where Krishna doesn't appear to. So I can keep on chanting the holy name until now, until the end of this body, and I'll get the same result, but at least I'll get my rounds done because I'm a good person. So we have to have some faith, that's why we have this philosophy, some faith that Krishna and his name are non-different, so that we actually try to chant happily. Krishna is happier when he sees we're happy, rather than when we're associating with his name, that we're happy about it. As I said, that if someone walks into the room and you just get disgusted, make a bad face, then the person's not going to feel very welcomed. This person doesn't like me, maybe I should go away. So we're chanting Hare Krishna, Srimati Radharani is there, Krishna is there, and we're thinking, oh, how horrible. Then what can Krishna do? He definitely can't reveal himself, spoil our material life, take away our material conception. Then Krishna simply remains, he doesn't allow us to experience him because we don't want to. And if we chant Hare Krishna happily, then at least we're adding a little happiness to Krishna's, we're happy that Krishna is there at least. And therefore Krishna is more inclined to actually reveal that he and his name are non-different. He and Srimati Radharani, they're actually appearing before us when we chant Hare Krishna. And there is no opportunity for happiness greater than that, because Krishna is the reservoir of unlimited happiness. And if we can experience a little happiness, get a little higher taste, then we'll be encouraged to chant every day. We won't think, oh, another day, another 16 rounds. I'm being tortured every day, 16 rounds. My spiritual master is so cruel, he gave me this torture to perform every day. And he told me it'll make me happy, but I'm just being tortured. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I was wondering, what is the limit between encouraging people and saying the truth? Like someone comes and he can follow something, but not really. Then sometimes it's good to say something that encourages him to continue. But also how to...
Well, you shouldn't tell someone something, encouraging words that are a lie. That are not the truth. Otherwise, it's insincere. People will realize that you're being insincere to them. If you have nothing good to say, then don't say anything. You don't have to say something. But try to find something that's truth. Just like austerity of speech is not only to say something which is pleasing, but also which is truthful and beneficial and follows the scriptural injunctions, which don't agitate people's minds. So there's no question we say something pleasing, but it's not truthful. Then it's not Krishna conscious either. Unless you're on book distribution, then you can flatter people to no end if they'll take a book, give a donation. Because people want to be lied to. But we're not here, when we're trying to serve Krishna consciousness, we try to avoid lying to people. Unless we're selling them a book or something. And even then, we shouldn't tell a lie, which is so big that they'll become, disturbed. tell them this, you know, they say, I'm an engineer. Oh, that's perfect. This is the book about how to become a perfect engineer. It has all the formulas in there. Then they go home and read it and they say, what? Namaste, Prishnikarva. What kind of formula is that? No, you don't want to disappoint people either. Anything else?
Sometimes if we like chant, it looks like we don't do anything like practical.
Well, that's a good realization because we're not doing anything.
Shouldn't be like finish rounds and do something.
No, we're not the doer. We're the desirer. The material nature is doing everything. Or the spiritual energy is doing everything if we surrender to Krishna. Then we're under the spiritual energy. We're simply desiring. We're not actually doing anything. It's Krishna is arranging the activities of the material nature or the spiritual nature, not ourselves.
Yeah.
But as far as not doing anything, you mean we're not getting any results from the chanting?
Well, yeah, like if you move this chair, you did something it's like a practical
thing. So what? Yeah, so what if you move the chair? It's like you're on the Titanic and it's sinking and you're rearranging the deck chairs. What's the value of it?
Or let's say paint a wall. Repaint a wall.
What's that? So what? Unless we do it in Krishna consciousness, we're just wasting our time. Unless we're deepening our relationship with Krishna, we're just arranging, as I said, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as it's sinking. The whole idea of the whole idea of doing devotional service or doing anything is so that we always remember Krishna and never forget him. Otherwise, it's a useless act. Not a useless. If it inspires it to come to that platform, then it has some value. Otherwise, it has no real value. Just the way it is. Anything else?
I'm wondering, because everything comes from chanting, and if we would be, I don't know, for 10, 20 years in the movement, and our
service progressed, we got some more responsibility for the mission, but still our chanting is not the best or proper, we are skipping some part of the mantra or some other things, not focusing or something. So, did we really progress, or it just appears so that we?
I may progress somewhere, somewhat. This by doing our service better is a kind of progression, but it's the whole idea is to chant better. Also, the service is supposed to help our chanting. The chanting is supposed to help our service. So we should take some time to chant nicely.
This 2 months and 10 days, it seems so difficult to chant. I lost that sweetness. That
how you can take it with it? Avoid bad association. Well, you can't. Therefore, we have the temple. What's that?
I also have to go back home.
You going back home now?
No.
Yeah, anyhow, so then you do the best you can. The holy name goes everywhere. He's everywhere. But the question is, we get distracted. So we try to really hard not to get distracted. Try to minimize our unnecessary activities. Then we will try to do something for Krishna under different circumstances. Then the chanting will, Krishna will appear there too. He's there. The question is, we're not there. So we have to concentrate more. Become more sincere, more intelligent. Pray to Krishna more. To the intelligence, how to adapt to these circumstances so that I can be Krishna conscious here too. And Krishna is in our heart. He can give us intelligence what to do, if that's what we want. Rather than think, now I'm outside the temple, I have a vacation, I can relax in Maya for a little bit. Not so much discipline. No one's looking. Krishna, just go to sleep. Don't look. Anything else? Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.